Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 548. So we're in the chapter in Rabbi Moshe Hershkowitz's book regarding exploring anger. And one methodology, what he calls the sandwich method, is that when something is upsetting you and starting to agitate you, and the idea of a sandwich method formula is that you sandwich one negative statement between two positive statements. As difficult as it may be when you're very upset and agitated, you think of something positive to say, then pause, say what's bothering you, and then pause again and respond again with something positive. So here's an example of it. He says, if Yaakov is upset that Shandy forgot to fill up the gas tank again, he could say, Shandy, you're so good about sending in our rent checks every month, and you're so responsible about it. And then you pause and you say, I guess what I don't understand is why you never pay attention when the gas gets very too low in the car, and it's frustrating when I'm late for work and I realize I have to make a stop at the gas station. And then you could pause again and say, you know, you take such good care of me and the kids, and I hope you don't mind that I'm asking you to do just a small thing for me in the future. It'll be very helpful. So you're sandwiching two wonderful things, and you're putting in the middle the constructive thing that you're upset about, and you're putting it in a nice, clear way. Hershkowitz states here, this is a wonderful way of clearing stress circuits by focusing awareness on your brain state and switching it back to more favorable thoughts. The change in the brain's emotional circuits will train to divert the amygdalas, that's the automatic response part of the brain, flight or fright response part of the brain, it'll divert that angry circuit into a more meaningful circuit pathway, more balanced thoughts. And you try to mean it, because when your anger goes down, you really mean those positive statements. That you are good about sending checks rent monthly, and you do take care of me and the kids so wonderfully. They're true statements. So this is a very important exercise. Now, we're not going to get into detail again, but he has another method by Dr. Robert Ney called the tight fist method. But in short, he wrote on anger management, which breaks into five components. There's a trigger that you're triggered by something. Then there are thoughts, the self-talk about yourself or your spouse, why that trigger took place, why that happened. Then the feeling, do you feel angry, do you feel anxious, do you feel guilty? Then an action, that you said something or did something in response to that feeling, the outcome that resulted and how you feel about that result. And then the future, how would you plan to behave if this would ever happen again? It's a daily anger log. And it's kedai to get the book and read and try to work on these exercises for people who are struggling with things like anger. And to work through various things in that. He has breathing exercises and different things that would be worthwhile to look through. It's not always a smooth one if someone has anger issues, but you work through it, and there's a whole Sefer Erech HaPayim actually on someone who worked through the Midav Kas. And this Dr. Ney writes as following. He says that confront rationalizations in your self-talk that blame your setbacks on others or tell you won't be able to be capable of change. It won't be easy, but continuing your old ways isn't easy either, and it can cost you, in human terms, more than you're willing to pay. In other words, your anger right now is having destructive outcomes. So you would want to change that. There's a safer, there's a lecture, a drasha, Migdash Ma'at by Rosh Hashem Pincus, and he says that when a person recognizes his yechida is the highest level of soul, his deepest self, and he knowingly stops himself from his anger and remains silent so as not to hurt the other person, he will merit that a wonderful light that no creation or angel can ever imagine. So this is the chapter on anger management. And then the last chapter of the book talks about parents and in-laws. and how it's so important to maintain a pleasant and peaceful relationship with one's in-laws. And one needs to understand the dynamic over here, why this takes place, these difficulties, partially because it's difficult for a parent to let go of their children, their single children, especially when it's empty nesting already. There's a fear of abandonment sometimes. It's called otophobia. There's actually an anxiety disorder characterized by acute fear of being alone. And often one of the symptoms of this particular anxiety is the strong need to control. This happens, unfortunately, if someone lost a close one through separation or divorce or death or things like that, and you blame yourselves on the event. And it may traumatize them. And sadly, even a marriage of a child, which is a happy occasion, it's a simcha, could create a certain level of anxiety. He relates a personal story regarding his brother, and someone tried to be meshadach him with a particular girl. So there was a Holocaust survivor mother and a daughter. And he asked the mother if the daughter would be interested in meeting his brother and so on. The mother's response was, "I'm sure your brother would not be interested in my daughter since she recently had a nervous breakdown." So his brother was shocked with disbelief that the mother shared such type of personal information so readily. But it seemed like, unfortunately, she was sabotaging her daughter's chances of ever getting married. She loved her daughter very much. As with all Holocaust survivors, the daughter is the purpose of their living, and the thought of being alone and being separate was too painful. And so therefore this control aspect kicked in. So when a child gets married, it can cause a certain state of extreme vulnerability with that loss of control. And therefore it's very, very important to work through these feelings. Now, you can't expect the pattern to change overnight, to disappear at the time of the wedding. And after the wedding, you'll find that many mothers will continue to give helpful suggestions to their sons or to their daughters, and they'll seek advice from their mothers, wife's family as well. And the wife is trying to establish herself in her new home, with her husband being the primary interest, and she feels insecure, or sometimes even resentful, of her husband's close relationship with his mother, perceiving it as competition or jealousy. You know, then she would tell another person he's always going to his mother, he always listens to his mother. Now, sometimes it's overboard and it really is a problem, but very often it's just a normal thing, especially in the beginning of marriages. And that's the idea. There's unfortunately miscommunications. So the idea is for the new couple that's married, he gives this advice, very sound advice, to give your future in-laws the benefit of the doubt. Be done the kafschus. Look for positive qualities in your in-laws as best as you could. Give them time to adjust. And let them know that you appreciate them for all the good things that they do for you. He talks about how to detach peacefully once a marriage starts. And it's something that needs to be worked on. You can't separate completely from your parents. Of course, there's always kibbutz of an aim, but there needs to be a certain degree of healthy detachment, maintaining a certain degree of independence in your marriage. But at the same time, having a friendly and safe and healthy relationship with your parents. So it's a balance. And parents themselves need to work on allowing their kids to lead their own lives. And both husband and wife need to learn to shift their loyalty from their parents to their spouse, detach from their childhood, or learn through those experiences and not take the negative aspects of how they were brought up into their new home, into their new marriage. And that transfer of loyalty is difficult. To set the boundaries is difficult sometimes. But this is a normal, healthy change. And the idea is with understanding and with slowly acclimating, you could adapt. And the key really is good communication, of course. So we're going to be reciting the book now. He brings a a quick ending of the book, talking about how there's nothing more precious than shalom. And it takes education, it takes skills, it takes a lot of tefillah and siyata d'shmaya. Of course, you ask Hashem for help every step of the way. But then you have to do hishtadlis. Hashem wants you to do that mitzvah of hishtadlis. And over here, the hishtadlis is working on your midos. But the training and education and skills is part of working on your midos. You need those tools to work on those midos. He created a team approach. But the idea is, like he stated many times, most couples, even when they're in difficult states, they don't want to divorce. They think they want to end the marriage. They don't want to end the marriage. They just want to end the pain that they're in. They want the pain to go away. And very, very often, more times than not, it's just that the cables are clogged. The cable that connects the two of them are clogged. And when you unclog them, the pain goes away. You're able to reconnect again. And sometimes all that is required is some little chizik, some right counseling, some little efforts to change behaviors. Again, you start with small steps. It may seem like it's a big mountain to overcome, but it's not. You're able to overcome it, and maybe we'll all be zeicha to build a bayis nem b'Yisrael. He has an appendix here that he has different questions. He goes through the respect, acceptance, and conflict aspects of it. You could turn to each other and ask these questions. Do you feel safe to be a genuine, imperfect self with me? Is something to ask one the other. Do I respect your suggestions? Am I ever rude to you? Do you think I take you seriously? Do I make you feel special? You talk to each other in these ways. And you give each other a hug when you're able to. You thank each other for the time focusing on each other to improve the connection and the relationship. So these are respect-type questions that you could ask each other. Then there's acceptance questions you could ask each other. Is it easy or difficult for you to admit that you have a weakness? Does it feel safe to be weak and vulnerable with me? Do you feel I love you and accept you unconditionally? Is it easy to approach me about my weaknesses or things I do wrong? Do you feel that I am as accepting as you now as I was earlier in the relationship? These are some of those questions you could ask each other. And at the end, of course, you embrace, you thank each other. You could discuss conflicts. So, for example, you could ask each other, you know, when we have conflict, do you ever find me disrespectful? Did I ever make you feel stupid or worthless when I had conflicts? Do you ever feel that I'm judging you? Are you able to express a complaint and request without me getting upset? Does that happen? Do you feel that way? And again, this is a matter of, sometimes you don't want to, like, why rock the boat and start bringing back some painful things? Because some of the answers may be yes, in the past you did this. And what you do then, and it doesn't say it over here, but clearly you apologize and you work towards getting close to each other again. But if they're fair to one another, they'll have a lot of positive feedback too on each other's behaviors. So it's recommended, this book, to read. He has acknowledgments here. He brings that Rav Pam he met, and Rav Pam told him that this program that this author placed here should be part of a curriculum for every chassan and kala. He said Rav Yisrael Belsky spent time with him discussing Shalom Bayis cases. So use this book wisely, purchase the book. It's a good book, it has a lot in here. It promised me to actually study a lot of the things that he touched upon here in more depth, like different aspects of these love languages that he describes, as well as transactional analysis, as well as attachment theory, which is very important. And may we all be zeicha bezras Hashem to heal our marriages and heal our childhood wounds and grow tremendously. Bracha v'atzlacha to all.